Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Would you take your hymnal, turn to hymn 87, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. For our call to worship, we'll sing the first and last verses. First and last of Joy to the World.
Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for this time of year when we celebrate the greatest gift we've ever received, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who lives and reigns, who's coming again for his church. God, I pray for those in here that don't yet know him in the fullness of all that he is. God, some leave him in the manger, some leave him on the cross. God, may we all today see him high and lifted up in all of his glory. Help us to lift him up in the songs we sing and the prayers we offer. And God, according to your word, I pray that all of us will be drawn close to him today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. All right. Well, today is a busy day around here. Let me get us all caught up. If you have something for the January newsletter, please get that down to Sherry today. She's going to be working on that this week. Also, the bulletin, if you can get that in quicker. We're on a short week this week. And then tonight, 6 o'clock, right in here, you can tell things are a little different. The kids will be having their program tonight. If you get here at 6 o'clock, you probably will not get a seat. So come just a little bit early and bring some goodies. We're planning to go over to the Life Center right after and share together. So bring some good stuff to eat, drop it off, and come over and get a good seat. Children, you're asked to be here by 5 o'clock. We also need some helpers. If you're coming to bring your kids at 5 o'clock, come a few minutes early. The social committee is going to be setting up tables and chairs. So if you can drop the kiddos off and go over and give them a hand, they would appreciate that as well. All right, Monday night, our young adult class is serving over at the community shelter. Tuesday night, we'll have our Christmas Eve service in here at 7 o'clock. It's kind of an informal service. Come, no coats, no ties, this kind of thing, just kind of laid back on that night. We'll just share a little bit together. A couple things as you leave. Christmas cards that our WMU delivered are back in the back. They started out in alphabetical order. No longer are they. So just kind of look around. You'll find yours back there. Offering envelopes also for 2020 started out in alphabetical order. Don't know if that's how they are now. But look around for yours. If you don't find it, give us a call. We'll make sure we get those to you. We will not be having service here on Christmas Day. The office is going to be closed. We won't be here that night. Lottie Moon offering we'll be receiving through next Sunday, so if you haven't given to that yet. And you got two notes, one about Right Now Media. This is a thing that we subscribe to. There are over 10,000 Christian videos there, and there's some easier ways to access that now. You can get an app on your phone. Don't watch them while you're driving, but if somebody else is driving, you can watch. There's some great Christian children's videos on there. Anyway, there's a little block about how to get on there. You'll create your own password and that kind of thing. but it doesn't cost you anything. There's 10,000 videos on there for your edification throughout the week. Also, there's a little note about Christmas card recycle. If you're trying to figure out what to do with those old Christmas cards after Christmas, there's a note in there about what to do with those. Well, I know we have a guest today, and we are excited that you're here. Bill's got some information from you for you if it's your very first time with us. So look around. There may be somebody brand new. If you get one of the packets, please fill out the little white card. That gives us an opportunity to write you and thank you for being here. So let's all stand in honor of our guests, give you a chance to greet each other in just a moment.
Let's join together and sing in the chorus, Emmanuel, then we'll take a moment to greet those around us. If you remain standing, take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 86, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll sing the first, second, and last. First, second, and last.
Love.
prayer. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just thank you for this time of year, the season that we're celebrating, Lord, that you would send your Son to die on a cross for our sins. Lord, just help us as we go through this season that we remember the true meaning of it, that the whole season is about Christ, the birth of our Lord and Savior. Lord, now as we take this offering, Lord, we pray that that we would give it freely and offer it to you. Lord, we just pray that you'd take this offering, just use it to spread your love around the world so that others will know your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We can get all the kids to come down. Good morning. How you guys? Somebody tell me what Christmas is about.
God's birthday.
Birthday, yeah.
Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday. Does that pretty well sum it up, right? It's all about Jesus, right? Everything about Jesus. You know, in December, we've been talking about the shepherds, and we're talking about the angels and Mary and Joseph, and we're talking a little bit about Jesus last week as being the main character. Not only is Jesus the main character at Christmas, he's the main character in the Bible. It's what the Bible's about. Does anybody know the legend of the candy cane? You know,
upside down, it looks like a giant head. Up, it looks like a shepherd's hook.
Wow. Look at there. What she said is when it's upside down, it looks like a J for Jesus. And then when it's turned back up, it's like a shepherd's hook, because Jesus is known as a shepherd and we're the sheep, right? So you got a shepherd's hook, and you got J for Jesus. Great job. Anybody else? More things. I'll let you teach it today.
We get presents.
Oh, yeah, we do. You get presents, too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. What else about the candy cane? What do you see? What do you see on the candy cane that makes you think of Jesus?
Those red stripes.
What is it, red stripes?
It's like the blood.
Sure is. Just,
I learned all that at school.
She learned all that at school. That's great. That's very good. Somebody's paying attention. So the red stripe, she said, is the representation of blood, of Jesus' blood when he got whipped. What about the white? Anybody know what the white means? Kinda, yeah. You said Christ, but yeah, it's the pureness, the cleanness of Christ. Because what did Jesus not do the whole time he was here on earth? What did he not do?
Sin.
Right, he never sinned. He was clean, he was pure. So the white of the candy cane is the purity of Jesus Christ. Well, I think you guys got it covered. So you got the J for Jesus. You got the shepherd's hook. You got the red is the blood. The white is the purity. You guys got the legend of the candy cane. So here's the thing. Whenever you see a candy cane, even outside of Christmas, you should always think of who? Jesus, yeah, Jesus. Jesus should always come to your mind when you see a candy cane anywhere. So I've got a candy cane for every one of you. We're gonna say a prayer, and I'll give you the candy canes out. I hope you guys have a great Merry Christmas. Love you guys. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for coming and being attentive. Thank you for being attentive in school. That's great. But you guys just have a great Christmas, okay? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for these kids, Father God. Thank you for just what they bring. Thank you for the life they have. Thank you for the excitement that they're having right now, Father God. I pray, Lord, that they can just continue having that excitement for you throughout their life. Pray, Father God, we as a church can be a lighthouse. Help us just to reach out and touch not only these kids, but everyone in the community, that we can just have unity and love on one another and be there and show these kids what it means to love on each other, Father God, and just be there for each other. We just love you again for all you do. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus, Father God, from the manger to the cross to the resurrection to where he's sitting right now, Father God, Jesus Almighty High right beside you. We just thank you for that power. Continue to love us. Your grace and mercy is always good for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Angels, we have heard on high, hymn 100. Let's stand together and join us singing the first, second, and third verses. First, second, and third.
Thank you.
Well, my story is not as good as that one. My name's Tom Stevens. I'm a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Down here doing a story on Ron Rivera. You guys may remember we, after y'all got tired of your last coach, we took him. Didn't last long. So we're down here checking out Ron Rivera, thinking maybe he'll come to Chicago after the season. Anyway, before my flight out, Pastor Carol asked if I'd come and share a story. It's a story about mercy and mistakes, miracles, and coming home on Christmas. It all started, my story started with a picture, this picture. My dad got this in the mail. No letter, no return address, just the picture. I know you can't see it from where you are. It's a picture of a big old church. Being the journalist that I am, having a great curiosity, I took my magnifying glass and found out that it was Clearwater Lutheran Church. When I was born in Clearwater but never lived there, I got adopted when I was just a baby. I'd been back there before, but not any length of time, and so it was odd that we got this picture of Clearwater Lutheran Church. But what really got me down to Clearwater was not just the letter. My wife Meg and I had been fighting a lot. In fact, it was the same fight, we just had it a bunch of different times. She'd say, "You promised to be home more." I'd say, "You promised not to nag." She'd say, "You work too much." I'd say, "We got bills to pay." So about 10 years ago, right around Christmas, she came in and told me that she needed space. And so I gave her some. I went to Clearwater. Drove down the streets of Clearwater. You folks in the South know how to do Christmas. You got the garland and all the pretty flowers and the nativity. Little truck I was behind in Clearwater had a wreath on the back of it. Dairy Queen had a picture of Frosty the Snowman chasing his hat. Saw two old cowboys standing by and I showed them the picture. I said, "Howdy, partner." Thought that would help. "You guys know where this might be?" Old fella pulled out his can and spit into it. He said, "Well, partner, if you had a rock and a good arm, you could hit it from here. Go down and take a right and left at the post office and you'll see it." I know that I should have known by looking at the picture, but I kind of had this, being a Northerner, being a Yankee, I kind of had this picture of Southern churches being little white structures, like looking like a dollhouse, maybe just oversized. But no, this church had this beautiful white stone, bell tower, and belfry. It all had a look of permanence. When I talked with my dad about it, he told me that there in Clearwater, there had been some German immigrants that migrated there, and they were crafty with stuff, and so they had probably built that building. Got out of the car, noticed the beautiful elm trees that lined the parking lot because in the picture, the elm trees are kind of small. Went up to those big wooden doors. Took a little struggle to open them. I heard the organ music cascading as I walked in. Opened the door, the interior door. Music got louder. There was a barrel-chested old man over to the left. I said, "Say, mister, you having a service tonight?" He looked at me and said, "No, son, we don't need no linen service. We do our own stuff." I said, no, are you having a service tonight?" "Son, I can't hear you." "Sarah, would you stop playing for a few minutes?" I said, "Are you having a service tonight?" Had on a work shirt, had maintenance written on it. He said, "Are you coming?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about it." "Good thing Jesus was more committed than you are. He didn't think about it. He just came." One thing I failed to tell you. You have this beautiful nativity here. But at that church, as I was walking in, out in the front, it was the most beautiful nativity I'd seen, much larger than this. And as I looked, I could tell that it was had tremendous detail. I made a note to ask about it or look at it on my way out. He said, "My name's Joe. And I do the maintenance around here." I said, "Well, Joe, what time's the service?" 6:00. "Son, you from out of town?" Yeah, Joe, I'm from out of town. I'm a reporter doing a story." "Well, son, you ought to be home with your family on Christmas." "Well, I should have been. But Meg needed space." Joe said, "6:00, be here." I made my way out and heard Sarah start to play the organ again. Went outside by the nativity. I noticed it had been hand carved. Each eyelash, each hair was in place. The detail of the fingers was amazing. About that time, I heard a voice behind me. It was Joe. "Say, mister." I almost hit my head on the manger. He said, that's been the pride of our city for about 10 years. Man named Mr. Ottoman carved it, hand carved. You won't see another one like it anywhere in the world." I said, "Well, it certainly is beautiful." He said, "Mr. Ottoman did that as his penance." And I said, his penance?" "Yeah, around Christmas time, he was bad to drink. And his wife was expecting. She went into labor. And he went to take her to the hospital and had a wreck. She died. Baby survived, but she died. And for the next 10 years, Mr. Ottoman started carving on this nativity. Somewhere along the way, he decided he would go to church and see what this was all about. And he came to this very church. That first Sunday, he heard a sermon called Born Crucified. Jesus, born with love in his eyes and a cross on his chest, born not just for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. He was born crucified. Mr. Ottoman said, let me show you something. He took me over to the baby Jesus, and he, He pulled back the cover and you could see where there was a cross carved into his chest. Mr. Ottoman said, "You know, for a long time there was a scarlet red cross there on his chest." And I said, "Well, what happened to it?" He said, "Well, that's a little longer story, son." Mr. Ottoman was raising his daughter, the one that his wife birthed as she died, and her name was Carmen. He was taking care of her, and while he was carving that, and he was kind of old school. You know, he tried to be stricter as Carmen got older. Always brought her to church, sat on the front row. But Carmen was such a beautiful thing. And as he got stricter, she got wilder. About the time she turned 18, she was expecting. It really bothered Mr. Ottoman. He said, I don't know why it is that we do those things that we say we're never going to do. But he was driving Carmen, and he was driving drunk, and they had another horrible accident. Child, Carmen was in the hospital, and Mr. Ottoman would not leave. In the middle of her consciousness, she raised up and she said, "How's the baby?" And Mr. Ottoman said, "The baby's fine." She said, "I sure would like to hold my baby for Christmas." Well, they couldn't bring the baby out of the NICU for mom to hold it. So Mr. Ottoman, he went down to the manger set and he pretended that he was working on the baby Jesus, but he carried the baby Jesus from the manger scene to the hospital so Carmen could have a baby to hold. The newspaper did a whole story on it about how the baby Jesus had been stolen, then returned. But when the baby Jesus came back, the cross was missing. As Mr. Ottoman was telling me the story, I could tell his heart was broken. I could tell it had been a horrible, tragic life for him. I said, "What happened to the baby?" "Oh, the baby did fine. Mr. Ottoman knew he couldn't raise it, so he put him up for adoption." "Mr. Ottoman?" "Oh, he still lives around here. He couldn't go back home. It's just too much pain for him. But the church, they got him a little room back here in the back. And he lives here at the church." And it was then that it started to dawn on me what had happened. He said, "Son, I've got something to give you." He said, "I made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I may be making one now." "But I want you to have this." I said, "Joe, are you..." "Yes, son, I'm your grandfather. Carmen was your mother. You've got her eyes, you know." He said, "I guess I was kind of hoping that you would forgive me like she did." I started thinking about all the mistakes I had made. Started thinking about how I had fought over silly things. Joe and I spent the afternoon together. We talked about mercy. We talked about our mistakes. We talked about Christmas miracles. I called Meg on the phone and I apologized to her, and she agreed to fly down to Clearwater, and we spent some time with Joe. And then we lost him about a week later. Here to tell you that Jesus came not just for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. He was born with love in his eyes and a cross on his chest. Born not just to live with us, but to die for us, so that people like me, people like Joe, can be forgiven. Story was written by Max Licato. Some of you've heard of him. He's going to be a decent writer if he keeps working. He might make a little money. But see, that's why he came. That's why Jesus came. Because we all make mistakes. Whether yours are as big as Mr. Ottoman's or as small as fighting with your wife this morning, Jesus came to live with us and to die for us, so that at Christmas time we could receive his mercy and his miracles. And I say this every week, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you're willing to ask forgiveness, he'll forgive you of every sin, adopt you into his family, and make you one of his own children. And I want to give you the opportunity to do that as we close today. We're going to sing a song together and give you an opportunity to receive Jesus in your heart. Let's all stand, please, and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. I thank you, God, that you were willing to forgive somebody like me. I thank you for this story that you created in the mind of one of your servants. And I pray that you'll use it today for your glory. Give people courage to do what they most need to do on this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to come and do some business with God, you come as we sing. That was the perfect song, wasn't it? Is anybody else tired? Christmas just wears you out, doesn't it? Jesus looked out on the multitude and said, "You who are weary, come to me, and I will give you rest." I hope you'll take some time in the middle of all your busyness this Christmas to spend time with Him and let Him give you the rest that you need. Let's pray together. Father, we love You today. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God, for this place where we can come and gather and share our stories and share our sorrows and help each other. God, help us to go from this place and share Jesus with every person we meet. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.